The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we're going to be this morning. And if you looked at the bulletin and you saw the title of the message today, you saw, well, we're looking at David and Goliath. And you're like, man, I know that one. I've already studied that before. We could probably skip, go straight to lunch. But we're not going to do that this morning. And also, David and Goliath is one of those stories that you might expect to hear during the children's corner, because that's one we like to teach on with the kids this morning. My focus is not going to be primarily on Goliath. It's not going to be primarily on Saul, not even primarily on David, but I really want us to consider what God was doing in the events leading up to this, what God was doing in David's life. And of course, we know that it was God that defeated the giant. Now, without David there to collect the stones and do it, he was the human instrument that God used. But we know that God was the one that was at work in this. So this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 37 is going to be our key verse, but I'm going to start at the early part of the chapter, and we're going to jump through it. I'm not reading every verse, but we're going to cover a lot of ground this morning. So I'm going to read one quote that I found regarding David and Goliath, this account in Scripture, and it says, "It's so compelling and well-known is the drama that it has become the primary historical metaphor in Western culture for describing any individual or group who overcomes seemingly insurmountable odds to defeat an oppressor." And so you think about it, people talk about David and Goliath and just that account, you know, when they're talking about, you know, going up against something that's impossible. Brother Eugene was talking about baseball, softball, some of that stuff this morning. And sometimes teams, you know, the underdog team going up against the giant, you know, to win that ball game. And so we think about it in those terms. But this morning, I want us to challenge our thinking of this, that we wouldn't read these verses and considering this as being so familiar as to not be able to learn something new from it this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the things that we can learn here in the life of David and some of the examples that we see in it. Father, just speak to our hearts and help us to hear what you have for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Shaqah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Shaqah and Azekah in Ephrathamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." And so we see the setting as to what's taking place here as the Philistines, they've crossed over into Israel. They've set up camp and Saul has set up his line of soldiers. And there's a valley that sits, you know, separating the two armies. And for 40 days, Goliath has continued to come out and to mock and to make these statements challenging them and looking for a champion, someone who will, you know, be a worthy opponent to fight against him. And, you know, the stakes being that if he wins, then, you know, the Philistines would serve Israel and vice versa. If Goliath won, then Israel would serve them. It was at this point, and we're not going to read all of the verses in between here, but it's at this point that Jesse, David's father, sends him to the battlefield where all of this has taken place, and he goes to take provisions and resources and things to his brothers who were in Saul's army. And so he gets there, he delivers what he's supposed to do, and he finds himself near the front lines when Goliath comes out, and he repeats very similar, the same thing as what we just read. And David hears this, and he hears, you know, the what he would call a blasphemy against God because of the mockery that he's making for the nation of Israel. And David, he responds differently than the rest of the ones that had heard Saul. They all listened to to Goliath. They all listened to what Goliath was saying. They all heard his, you know, rants that he would give, and they were fearful. But David, he hears that, and David is angered at what he's hearing, and he asks who's going to do something about it. Verse number 26, if we drop down, says that David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done to the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And he asked this question, and people hear, you know, hear that. His brothers hear him asking questions, and his brother says, you know, just be quiet, tells him, you know, don't worry about that, just shut up, essentially. And David, you know, he continues to ask the question. And verse number 31 picks up, says that when the words of David, David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David had, you know, talked long enough that his words made it to Saul. He gets an audience with the king, and he goes in, and the first thing he does, the first thing he starts out with is exhorting them, you know, don't let your hearts fail. He tells them, don't worry about this, don't be fearful. And then he gives his proposal, he gives his solution to this situation. He says, I will go and fight Goliath myself. Now, as you think about, you know, who Goliath was in the description, that's given, very lengthy description that we're given of Goliath. As I was studying this, we have more information about this event with Goliath here and David and the two armies. We have more description given than most any of the other battles that are recorded with this. Most of the time, the battles don't have a lot of, you know, specific detail. But all of the detail that's given to Goliath, and the point to be made, is that he is a giant, he's a large man, he's a strong man, intimidating, his armor is intimidating, and he has a soldier that goes out in front of him whose only purpose is to carry a shield in front of Goliath. And so here David, as a young man, comes and he makes this proposal to King Saul. In verse number 33, Saul said to David, "You're not able to go up against the Philistines to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, he took the lamb from the flock. I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, go, and the Lord be with you. And so initially, you know, David, you know, he makes this proposal that he's going to be the one to go and fight. And Saul sees him, sees his appearance, and Saul says, no, you're not able. You can't do it. You won't last a second. But then David gives his reasoning. And David's willingness to fight Goliath was not ignorance. When Saul first heard what David had to say, he could have looked at him and said, man, this little guy here, he's arrogant, he's ignorant, he's foolish. You know, there's a lot of reasons, a lot of motives that David could have had for saying that he would fight. And Saul's first response was to reject David's offer. It wasn't based in ignorance. David's willingness to fight Goliath was not based on military strategy. I mean, this one's obvious. You know, none of Saul's advisors, none of the military strategists would have looked at this and said this was a good idea. It wasn't ignorance, but it also was not military strategy. Common sense alone would have said David was not the right person for the assignment. And it's important to note that not only would David be placing his life on the line as he walks out there to confront Goliath, but the future of Israel was also resting on his shoulders, because the challenge that Goliath was making was that this champion that would fight for them, that he would represent them, and if Goliath won, Israel would serve them. So you can see why Saul would have, you know, had some questions and why Saul didn't initially want David to fight Goliath. But it wasn't based in ignorance. It also wasn't based on military, you know, strategy. But David's willingness to fight Goliath was based on his experience with God. David had struck down a lion, he had struck down a bear as he was watching his father's sheep. And he understood that it was God that had delivered him from the lion. He understood it was God that had delivered him from the bear. He had witnessed God's power. He had witnessed God's protection. You know, what was the difference when David heard Goliath talking? And everyone was fearful, and David said, you know, I'm ready for a fight. I'm ready to go. He had experienced God's protection. He had experienced God's deliverance in the past. David had faith to kill the giant when all the men of Israel were afraid. And his faith, his confidence, was because of the relationship that he had with God. You know, we can talk about the impossible victory that David had. We can talk about the precision of that stone as it hit the giant, and the one flaw that he had in all of that armor. And you could say how miraculous all of that was. But really, all of this, it's because of David's relationship that he had with God in this moment. David's idea that he should be the one to fight Goliath was not because of who he thought he was, but it was because of who he knew God to be. And sometimes as we're going through life and as we're, you know, dealing with difficulty and we're dealing with obstacles and trials and all of those things, sometimes we say, man, this is bigger than I am. This is, you know, going to take me under. This is too much to bear. But we have to remember that God is the one that's with us. We have to recognize that God is aware of the things that we're going through in our lives. When we look at this, I'm not going to challenge you to say, hey, be like David and go fight a Goliath and do the impossible. Be David. Well, I think it was David Platt. It was one of those guys that made a point years ago in a sermon he preached. He said, you're not David. He said, if we're honest, we're not, you know, Goliath in the story, we're not David in the story, but we're usually probably like Israel. We're cowering in fear on the sidelines. And I'm not telling you to go out and try to be David, but what I am telling you is that David had a relationship with God that we should desire in our lives as well. He knew that God would give victory over Goliath. David's faith, it wasn't just wishful thinking, it was confidence. It was confidence in what he knew about God. When we talk about having faith, we talk about trusting God. What does that look like? What does that mean? Well, this morning I want us to consider real quickly, where did David's faith come from? It came from his relationship with God. And it's in difficult times, it's in, you know, the challenging moments of our lives that God shows himself and God shows his ability to provide. And faith comes from seeing God deliver us and doing the impossible in those difficult moments of our lives. Think about David. He would not have had this confidence if he had not encountered the lion and the bear already in his life. Now, the day that he encountered that lion, I doubt he woke up that morning, got ready to go take care of the sheep, and said, you know, it'd be nice if I saw a lion out there today. That could be interesting. It'd be less boring than yesterday was. No, he didn't probably go asking for a lion to come and to attack his flock, but he dealt with that. There was a bear, and I doubt that he, you know, had that encounter with that bear and would go, you know, well, you know, that was a good thing. I was hoping something like that would happen, break up the day. No, he probably didn't think of those as being a great thing in his life, but they taught him to trust God. They taught him that God was able to provide, that God would deliver. Faith comes from seeing God provide and deliver in the difficult times. You think about faith and you think about God providing, and you can think about specific events, specific things in your own life where God has provided, where God has delivered you from whatever the circumstances that seemed overwhelming at the time. But we also think about faith and we think about how God has delivered, and we all share in common that we were sinners separated from God. We had no hope. We were, you know, destined for the wrath of God. But Jesus, he took and he died in our place. He took that sin upon himself, died in our place, paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He rose again. He has delivered us as believers. Our faith comes from seeing how God delivers us. We have faith because of what Christ has done for us. If we look at what we say we will believe, we say, hey, Christ did this in our place so that we wouldn't spend eternity without God. And if we truly believe that, it should cause us to have faith. You look at what's happening today, you look at what's going on in the news, and you say, well, the news is depressing, the news only gives me bad information, I don't like it. Well, we have faith. God was able to provide salvation. He delivered us from the consequences and the power of sin, all of that. I think we can trust God with whatever tomorrow holds. I think we can trust him with whatever situation, whatever circumstances we may be going through right now. Think about the perspective. You know, perspective's important. David could have approached all of this in his life from a pessimistic standpoint. He could have been very much a pessimist and said, well, he hears Goliath and he hears what Goliath is doing and he's like, man, I've already encountered a lion. I survived that. But, I mean, it could have killed me. I survived fighting with the bear, but, man, it's lucky I made it out alive. There's no way I'm going up against that giant. Again, God would desire to show us his power. God would desire to show us that he can deliver, but our attitude, our perspective is important. David didn't let those events cause him to become bitter and say, man, why are difficult things always happening to me? It seems like everybody else, they go take care of sheep and they never see any lions. But me, I always have something come up. Perspective's important. David had the right perspective and he learned what God wanted him to learn with that lion and that bear. And because of that past experience, he had confidence that God was with him as he would stand against the Philistine. So Saul said to him to go, and the Lord be with you. And that's as far as I'm going to go in the scripture this morning, as far as this passage. Y'all have all read this before. You know that David is victorious over Goliath. But let me ask you this morning, what has God been doing in your life to grow your faith? Sometimes, as we go through life, it may seem like we just keep hitting obstacle after obstacle, problem after problem. You know, things aren't going the way that we want them to. And maybe that's got you a little bit upset and frustrated. And my challenge to you this morning is to consider your perspective. And instead of focusing on all those obstacles, consider what is God trying to do to grow our faith, to show us that He's able to provide. Is it possible God wants us to learn to trust Him more because of the difficulties that we're going through? And we think about over the last year as we survived 2020. You know, as we were going through 2020, we kept kind of making jokes about, you know, 2020 and, you know, the 5 years that it had already been going on, and was 2020 ever going to end? And 2020 came to an end. We survived 2020, and we look at the national pandemic and all of that stuff that was going on, but slowly now we're seeing things start to seem like it's returning to normal. Let me ask this question. Are we finding ourselves at this point where we are today defeated, or have we found that our faith is increased because we've seen that God is able to provide? God takes care of us. As we look at last year, I was talking about 2020 and all of the stuff with the COVID and the pandemic and masks and all of that. We didn't desire to go through all of that any more than David desired to face a bear and a lion. But he learned to trust God. And my question this morning, my challenge for us, is the things that we're experiencing as a group, individually, the things you're going through, you know, are you looking to God? Are you trusting Him? Are you looking for those little lessons that He would desire for us to learn in the lives, you know, difficult times, challenging times? You know, it's in those times many, many ways that God grows our faith. I close you with that same question. What has God done in your life to grow your faith? I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me this morning, just to give you a moment to spend in prayer as we sing Invitation, just to consider, you know, your faith, your walk with God. And maybe you find yourself where you say, man, I've just been surviving and trying to deal with it myself. I've been a little bit frustrated and kind of upset about the way life has been lately. Maybe this morning God's challenging you to look to Him, to change your perspective and see the opportunities that He's given, even in the midst of storms. Let's prepare for invitation. Father God, thank You for today. We thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You for David's example in this occasion. And Father, David was like us. His life wasn't perfect, but Father, he trusted You and he loved You. And Father, I ask that You would challenge us, Father, to be not just people that, you know, go to church and say that we, you know, have a relationship with You, but Father, that we would truly trust You and that we would truly love You. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.